another time.
Amen.
In his name.
Amen.
Thank God for the Bible study on Friday night.
Amen.
After the Bible study, I went to Elder and I said, therein lies the battle right there. It's the spirit against the flesh. That's the battle, saints. The spirit against the flesh. We learned a long time ago that our worst enemy is not Satan. All you have to do is look in the mirror if you want to see your worst enemy. Come on, somebody. Do I have any witnesses in the house of God? If you want to see who your worst enemy is, go take a look in the mirror. Satan will not keep you and I out of heaven. Demons will not keep you and I out of heaven. The only one that will keep you and I out of heaven is you and I. Come on, say amen. With the power that we have inside of us with the Holy Ghost, there's no excuse for any of us not to be strong in Christ. We learned that Friday night, amen? Pastor was trying to drill home the message. Stay in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I remember last year when we had our anniversary, Elder Harper kicked it off on that Thursday night. One of the things he said in that message that just resonates in my mind, saints don't like to pray. Saints don't like to pray. If we were having a concert and it started at 7 o'clock and prayer was from 6:30 to 7, folks will come drifting in here 10 minutes to 7. Folks will come drifting in here 5 minutes to 7. What happened to 6:30? Where were you? Prayer is one of the most powerful weapons in our spiritual weaponry. And we refuse to use it. I'm talking about me also. If we would just learn, Friday night I was so inspired. I was so encouraged. Because when you come to God's house, you should want to hear the word from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We've got to learn to grow up in God. Some of us have been spiritually stagnant for a long time. It's time to get out of that stagnancy and move on. Amen? Little things and foolishness causing you to want to throw in the towel. Throw in the what? Go where? Where are you going to go? You're going to go back to Egypt? I'm just being led by the Spirit, though. Is that all right? Can I be led a little bit? Where are you going to go? In these last and evil days, you and I have to recognize and realize what time it is. It's time to get serious about salvation. Every last one of us in here, Jesus loves us all. How do I know? The Bible says so.
All right.
He went to Calvary, amen?
Amen?
Came down through 42 generations. The Bible said God looked and there was none to help. And he wondered if there was any to uphold. He said, therefore my own arm brought salvation and my fury upheld it to me. God looked down the lines of time. There was nobody that could come and help and redeem man from the fall. We're going to talk about that word today. I'm not going to hold you long. I came to prayer Monday night, and God put this message on my heart. Psalms 107, I'd like for you to turn there, please. And let us stand out of the reverence of the reading of the word of God. I'm only going to read two passages of scripture. There's several passages of scripture in this Psalms. Those that are able to stand, let us stand out of reverence for reading the word of God. Salvation this afternoon is everything. It's time to be serious about serving God. He kept hammering the message on Friday. God trying to get a point across to you and I. It is the flesh that has to be crucified. The flesh is not saved. This body is crying out for the redemption to be restored. Once we get that glorified body, there'll be no more evil thoughts. Amen? There'll be no more aches and pains.
Amen. Amen.
There'll be no more trouble. He's going to wipe away how many tears?
All.
Come on now. He's going to wipe away all tears. Hallelujah. The former things will have passed away. No more Satan. No more trials. No more sin. That's the culprit right there. That three-letter word. Sin. If you have it, say amen. Psalms 107. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 together, all right? Let us read. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this afternoon, we thank you for your word.
Yeah.
We thank you for the apostolic way.
Yeah.
We thank you for the precious truth.
Yeah.
We thank you for the man and woman of God you have placed over us.
Yeah.
Lord God, you know what you're doing. Help us to put our trust in you. Help us to listen to the man and woman of God, Lord, who you have given us, Lord God, to be the leader, to be the shepherd, Lord Jesus. Lord God, help us to hide the word of God in our hearts, that we sin not against thee. Lord God, help us to realize that thy coming is soon and the time is short. Help us to be for real this afternoon. Oh God, keep us, Lord. Keep us as the apple of thy eye and the center of thy will. Lord God, deal with the backslider, touch the sick and the afflicted. You won't fail to give thy name honor and praise and the glory. Let us say, in Jesus' name,
amen.
You may be seated. Not going to hold you long, but we want to hear a word from the Lord this afternoon. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We need to hear a word from God. God needs to speak to us, and when God speaks to us, we need to listen and take heed. Saints, eternity is how long?
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
This life is
temporal.
Yes. Somebody said this life is for a little while. Amen.
Amen.
You want to know how short this life is? Go to the graveyard. Look at a tombstone. And you'll see a birth date there. And you'll see a little hyphen. Then you'll see a date they checked out. That little hyphen represents not just their lifestyle, not just their lifetime. That little hyphen represents all of time. Can you comprehend that?
No.
That little hyphen represents all of time. Time interrupted eternity. And we're only here for a little while. A little while. We can't comprehend that because we take so much for granted. When you and I lay our heads down on a pillow at night, we expect to wake up in the morning. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
We expect to wake up, and that's all we can comprehend is tomorrow. We can't comprehend eternity. We don't know what happens after death only by what the word of God tells us.
Amen. Amen.
This young brother I grew up with, he asked me on the phone, I talked to him. He said, Mackie, how do you know there's life after death? I said, I don't know. I said, all I have to go on is what the word of God says.
Oh, here we go.
I said, that's right. We come full circle right there. He struggles with this, believing this. When you don't believe this, you're going to struggle.
Amen.
When you don't obey this, you're going to struggle. And when you approach this with your intellect, you're going to come away empty. I said, the only thing I have to go on is the word of God, and I choose to believe the word of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
There is life after death. God has dealt with me in dreams, and all through the scriptures, and in some of your lives, he's dealt with you in dreams. Amen. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention to verse number 2. I mean, I've got so much on my mind to say, but I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I can't get Friday night's Bible study off my mind.
Amen.
I mean, therein lies the battle, saints of God.
Yes.
Therein lies the battle.
Yes.
You and I who have the Holy Ghost, which is the power of the world to come, we are without excuse. Do you realize and recognize that we have more power than the power of the devil?
Come on,
not of ourselves, but through the Holy Ghost.
Right.
We have the power of the world to come. There's no excuse for being weak and faint-hearted and wanting to give up on Jesus. And in these last and evil days, things are going to get worse before they get better. Your mind and my mind has better be made up, because time is going to come when we're going to be pushed against the wall. And you and I are going to have to prove whether we love Christ or not. Elder Kent gave that illustration about how in another country they were worshiping him. These men came into church with military gear on and rifles. And this is beautiful, because this is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, right.
They said that everybody who is serving God, we're going to shoot you and kill you. But those that leave will let you go. But if you stay, we're going to kill you. He said the church cleared out. Poof. Like in the cartoons. Poof. Feet don't fail me now. They got out of there. In essence, everybody should have stayed. Come on now. Everybody should have stayed. But you see, everybody isn't walking with Jesus like they claim to be. When you read the Gospels, the multitude followed him. But everybody wasn't following him for salvation. A lot of people, I call it the fish and the loaves, I call it the fish fry dinners. A lot of people followed him for the fish and the loaves. A lot of people followed him for the healing, to see the miracles. But everybody wasn't following Jesus for salvation. You see, when it comes down to your flesh and my flesh, that's what tells the truth. The devil said to God concerning Job, he said, skin for skin, all that a man hath. You let me touch his flesh and he'll curse you to your face. So if God allows them to touch our flesh, are we going to deny him? Are we going to turn our backs on him? That's what really tells if you're saved or not. You want to know what else tells if you're really saved or not? When you're home alone. What are you doing? What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you listening to when you're by yourself? What are you doing when you're on your job or in the school with the unsaved and the ungodly? How do we act and behave ourselves? That really tells. And when you make a stand for Jesus, you are going to be tested. Amen? And in these last and evil days, God wants somebody to stand up and be a true soldier in the army of the Lord. Verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That's a powerful scripture. I know what the word redeemed meant, but I went to the Webster Dictionary. I wanted to look it up. Before I even go any further, I want to take a subject this afternoon. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Can you repeat that after me? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's our subject this afternoon. I want to talk about being redeemed. I want to talk about redemption just for a little while. To be redeemed. What is the psalmist saying here? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The word redeemed, just a few definitions, there were so many. To set free, to rescue, to save from a state of sinfulness and consequences. To buy back, a repurchase, a rescue. Salvation from sin through Christ's sacrifice. That was in the dictionary. Salvation from sin through Christ's sacrifice. That was in the dictionary. In Webster's.
Thank you, Lord.
Redemption. Redeemed. When you look at redeemed and redemption, psalmist is saying here, let the redeemed of the Lord. In order to be redeemed, you have to be held captive at one time. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when we go back to the, when God put this on my heart, immediately my mind went back to the second chapter of Genesis. You've got to go back to Genesis. We're talking about being redeemed. We're talking about being set free. We're talking about being rescued. Adam, our forefather, the first man, when he willfully disobeyed God, you see, the responsibility fell on him. When you read the second chapter of Genesis, the Bible tells us that God told him, of every tree in the garden thou may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely
die.
Thou shalt surely
die.
There was a consequence that came with him being disobedient. Thou shalt surely die. Now, to break that down a little further, God meant a spiritual death, a natural death, and an eternal death. Three types of death went in that one verse. The spiritual death meant that you were going to be severed and cut off from me. The physical death meant that you were going to take on a sinful nature in everyone that came after you. And the third death, the eternal death, was if you die in your sin, you're going to be separated from me throughout all eternity. That one passage of scripture, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. But God, looking down the line of time, even before he created anything, he saw how he was going to make a way out of no way for humanity. When you go to the third chapter of Genesis, when Adam willfully disobeys God, here comes one of the first things they did. And this is how God dealt with them. One of the first things they did when Adam ate of the fruit, the Bible says their eyes were open. And they knew that they were what?
Naked.
In the Old Testament, there are types and shadows of things to come. And the Bible says the first thing they did when they realized they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together to cover their what? Nakedness. Now watch this, because this is deep. This is serious. The natural relates to the spiritual. Man, when he sewed those fig leaves together, him and Eve, when they sewed those fig leaves together, it was a type and shadow of man trying to cover sin his way. His way. The word of God says all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. He'll try to clean up and justify his wrongdoing. Amen? Oh, if God is such a God of love, how come he allows this to happen? How come he allows that to happen? Always trying to point the finger back in God's face. Because in the third chapter of Genesis, when God started coming right to where they were, knew what they did, when he came to where they were, the Bible said they did what? Hid themselves amongst the bushes. Symbolic symbolism. Mankind has been hiding himself ever since. You got folks in church still hiding from God. How can you be in church and still hide from God? By not surrendering completely to God.
Amen.
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 You got folks in church hiding from God. Yes, they're religious, but religion by itself cannot take you to heaven.
Right.
Nicodemus was religious. And what did Jesus tell him? He said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom. He was religious. Religion by itself won't save anybody. Everybody's religious. What's the atheist religion? Well, he doesn't believe in God. That's his religion. But what's the agnostic's religion? Because the agnostic says, well, I'm not saying there isn't, I'm not saying there isn't. That's their religion, because that's what they believe. And we know that those who worship Satan boldly and openly, that's their religion. So Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. And watch this. God, when he made them line up and give an account to him, the man, the woman, the servant, the very first thing, you go back and read it in your private time, the very first thing Adam did, just like humanity today, Adam took his finger and pointed it right back in God's face. He said, the woman that you gave me, she gave me and I didn't eat. Think about it. He tried to put the blame off on God. He was passing the hot potato. The woman said that the serpent beguiled me. Serpent looking around to blame something on somebody. He couldn't find nobody. They were passing the hot potato right on down the line. Now watch this. The same third chapter, after God pronounced judgment, the scripture says, because we're talking about redemption, amen? We're talking about the redeemed. Let the redeemed say so. Whom I have redeemed from the hands of the enemy. We're talking about redemption. In this third chapter of Genesis, the Bible said God took skins of animals. Where did these skins of animals come from? And he covered their nakedness. Types and shadows. Those skins from the animals came from innocent animals. He killed innocent animals and took their skins to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. A type and shadow of him dying on Calvary, because only the blood of Christ can cover you from sin. You don't have to say amen. The angels are shouting up in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Only the blood of Christ can cover you and I from sin. He was giving you and I a preview of his coming. And because after that, the only way man could approach God was through a blood animal sacrifice. The whole Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, was like a big arrow pointing to Calvary. Every animal sacrifice they offered up in the Old Testament, type and shadow of Jesus dying on Calvary. Blood had to be shed. Not just blood, but innocent blood. In the beginning, God took innocent animals and killed them and took their skins to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness in the natural. But symbolically, it represented him covering our sins in the spiritual. Animal sacrifice. Blood had to be shed. Innocent blood. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. When Adam willfully disobeyed God in the garden in the third chapter of Genesis, he sold the whole human race into spiritual slavery. Now, because he did this, everyone that is born of a woman, the Bible tells us that we're shaken in iniquity. We're born in sin and we're shaken in iniquity. It's hard to believe that a little innocent baby has a sinful nature. But watch this. You don't have to teach that baby to do wrong. You have to teach that baby to do right. Amen? Come on now. You don't have to teach that child to do wrong. But you have to teach that child to do right. This is why the scripture says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And in the end thereof, they will not depart. You have to teach that child to do right, because wrong is automatically in them. It's innate, that sinful nature that Pastor talked about Saturday night. We're born with it. Now watch this. This is why just being good by itself will not get you into heaven. Because our first birth were born in sin. This is why you must be born again of water and of the Spirit. This is why Calvary was so important. Jesus came into this life to die for you and I. He came into this life to be the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. He came into this life and died on Calvary to rescue you and I. If he did not go to Calvary, and we had it in our ministers meeting this morning, how the spirit of the devil was using Peter. Peter meant well. He rebuked the Lord because he didn't understand what was going on. He took the Lord because the Lord was trying to tell him he had to die and go to Calvary. And he told told his apostles over and over, and they didn't register in their minds. And Jesus saw the spirit that was behind and in Peter. And he took Peter and he rebuked that spirit. Because he had to die. If he didn't die, he wouldn't be here this afternoon. If he didn't die, there wouldn't be no redemption for you. If he didn't die, then we couldn't say so. Hallelujah. He had to go to Calvary. He had, and I watched this. The whipping and the beating that he took. Every drop of blood that fell from his body was crying out, I love you. I love you. Every whipping that he took, they beat him with a cat of nine tails, they call it. They had metal, and they had steel, and they had glass chips weaving in these raw hides. There was nine tails. And every time that soldier whipped him and brought that whip back and slashed the flesh and blood off his back, God was saying, I love you. When he was hanging up there, blood dripping from his wrist and blood dripping from his feet, blood dripping from his side, the crown of thorns on his head, every drop of blood was saying, I love you. How dare you and I want to give up on him? How dare you and I want to turn our back on him? How dare you and I want to give up and throw in the towel? How dare you and I want to go back to spiritual slavery? How dare you and I want to quit on him when he didn't quit on us? Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Who we have redeemed from the hand of the Lord. How dare you and I give in to sin? How dare you and I turn our back on our Savior? Every drop of blood he shed said, I love you. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. When you stop and think, the songwriter said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Who we have redeemed by the hands of the enemy. Satan doesn't care about any of us in here. Satan is upset that he lost us. We were on our way to hell at one time. We were on our way to a burning lake of fire. And it's been said so many times. The next time he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Remind that filthy rascal where he's going. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. Jesus paid a mighty price for you and I to be here this afternoon. And sometimes we, amen? Sometimes we can get so lazy we don't want to pray. We get so lazy sometimes we don't want to fast. We get so lazy sometimes we don't want to come to church. Want to go back on God. After all he's done for us, and after what he's doing for us, and after what he's going to do for us, do you realize what we have awaiting us? Do you realize what is awaiting us? The Bible tells us that we are heirs and joint heirs in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are priests and kings in Christ Jesus. The Word of God tells us we're going to reign with him. We're going to rule with him. He's going to give us a glorified body that doesn't know anything about pain, doesn't know anything about hunger. Sin will be no more. Let the redeemer of the Lord say something. Who we have redeemed from the hands of the enemy. When you and I lift him up in the midst of the ungodly, yes, there's going to be mockers and scoffers. Yes, there's going to be people that make fun of us. But let me show you something. The very ones that are making fun of us, deep down inside, they're crying out because they wish they had what we have. They put on a facade. They put on a facade, amen? They put on a mask. Don't let the mask fool you. If they don't have Jesus, they don't have nothing. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how much prestige they have. I don't care how much wealth they have and how much intellects they have. Just like the pencil and the two erasers. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Watch. I mean, listen to me. The very ones that mock us and make fun of us and say, you ain't got to go to church all the time. You ain't got to do. Deep down inside, they're empty. Deep down inside, they're hollow. Deep down inside, something is missing. Deep down inside, they're crying out for what you and I have. And we must say so, but not so much of what we say, but how we live. We have to live this life. Because the very ones that are mocking us and making fun of us down the road, because we're being faithful to Christ, they might turn their lives to God. You and I can hinder somebody from coming to Christ. I said you and I can hinder somebody from coming to Christ by not being faithful to Christ the way we ought to be. We can hinder somebody from coming to Christ. Chew on that for a little while. Think about it. If I'm dipping and dabbing and half-stepping and I'm not being faithful, but I got a mind to go back because I'm not doing the things I'm supposed to be doing spiritually. And watch this. Because somebody is always watching our lives. Demons are watching us. Satan is watching us. Angels are watching us. God is watching us. And humans are watching us. Unsaved souls are watching us. Unsaved family members are watching us. Unsaved co-workers are watching us. Unsaved students on our job are watching us. Hallelujah. Our lives are on display. We are ambassadors of Christ. We represent the kingdom that's coming. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom is going to rule. And it is a privilege and an honor to have a mind to walk with him, to be a part of all this. Give up? Throw in the towel? Are you crazy? What are you going to go back to? Lukewarm in the faith? Why don't you and I make up in our minds? We're going to roll up our sleeves and put our shoulder to the wheel and be for real about Jesus. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. You've got to be mindful. He saved us. He rescued us for a purpose. What purpose? To be a light. To be a light and salt in this dark world. To be a witness that we can win somebody and pull them out of the fires of hell. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to stand before him and hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful. He's not going to say bishop or elder or deacon or suffragan bishop, apostle or prophet, evangelist. He's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Come and I'll make you ruler over many. That's what we should be living for. To hear him say, well done. Well done. Thy good, thy faithful servant. And as bold as the unsaved can be, as ungodly as they can be, have no problem cussing and fussing, using profanity. They have no problem with flaunting their sin in our face. It is a reminder of where God has brought us from. Every time we see the unsaved act up, it is a reminder of where God has brought us from. Amen? It is a reminder of where he delivered us from. We've been rescued. We've been delivered. And a mighty price was paid for you and I to sit here this afternoon. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. Praise the Lord.